Welcome back to the Roundtable. And just since Election Day in November, there has been a spike in President Obama's approval ratings. From time to time, we extend our Roundtable panel to have a debrief on big issues. So in our debrief this morning, Lee Meringhoff, director of the Marist Institute for Public Opinion, a research center and a home of the Marist poll, joins us. Dr. Alan Chartok is here as well. Good morning, Lee Meringhoff. How are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Yeah, you're a giant in our field.
I thought you were going to talk about the New York football giants for a second. And
no, because
hoping you weren't going that way.
Some people think we're, you know, twins or triplets or something like that, but we're not.
We're not. Separated at birth.
You have this incredible ability to have made this Marist thing into a worldwide operation. It's astounding. You've been with NBC, with newspapers. Who are you with now?
We're doing most of our polling in individual states around the country for presidential elections or for the recent midterm elections with NBC News in Washington. We've been working very closely with Chuck Todd. We also partner with the McClatchy News Service for some national polls, and HBO Real Sports with Brian Gumbel on some sports issues. So a little change of pace there, too.
Well, we knew you when. You were just, you know, like us, schlemiels.
I'm still like you. My stature has grown, but not my height.
We wanted to talk to you because there was the news that several polls, Gallup and the CBS poll, showed a rather significant spike in the president's approval ratings in a rather short period of time, from Election Day to the first of the year. And we wanted to talk to you about that and get a sense of, is that what you are seeing as well in your polling?
Yeah, we haven't done a national poll since he was at 43, but I certainly would concur with your observation that a lot of the polls that have been done, particularly in the last few weeks, I don't know if I would call it a spike. I think it's inching upwards. His numbers have kind of gone from the low 40s to the mid and upper 40s. In the most recent Gallup poll, for the first time in quite some time, his approval actually was greater than his disapproval at 48, 47. But I'm seeing Pew Research, a very reputable group in Washington, has him at 47, Gallup at 48. So certainly, inching upwards. And I guess this is just, several things, but certainly some more positive feelings about the economy. Certainly since his last State of the Union message, the economy is not glowing in the minds of the public, but certainly people are now beginning to sense that things are showing some improvement.
Now, Lee, he gets wiped out in the congressional elections. And it seems to me he decided to, as we used to say in the game of hearts, shoot the moon, and decided, oh, what the heck, I'm going to go for this and really say what I think. And I think the American people are responding to that kind of leadership. But is there any credibility to the idea that this has occurred since the change in his tone?
The point you make is a very interesting one. You know, during the midterm elections, which, of course, you know, as you point out, the shellacking was rather pronounced, he was really not that visible. He made some really bad comments about he was not on the ballot, but his policies were. Most of the Democrats running in the competitive states, his approval rating was in the 30s. Those were mostly states Romney had carried. You sort of own the president of your own party, whether you like it or not, and by running away from him, didn't help those Democrats in the end, because they sort of were, they owned him regardless. So I think there's something to be said for now, past those midterm elections, trying as he is to stay relevant for these next 2 years, the executive order on immigration, the changing policy to Cuba, I assume some tax policy initiatives that he's going to propose during the State of the Union tomorrow, all an effort on his part to stay relevant and to try to become a player in this closing years of his administration. Look, there's a brief window now between, and I guess their window may be barely open between, where we are right now in the presidential campaign, and I think he doesn't want to take a back seat to everything that's going on right now.
You use the word relevancy, but we're ultimately also talking about legacy, correct?
Yes, and I think in some ways, his numbers. First of all, we're talking approval rating. What's fascinating about him is that Barack Obama's numbers have not moved that much throughout the 6 years of his presidency. I mean, his low points are in the low 40s. His high points are in the high 40s. It's been probably, and I've seen other people put these numbers together, his numbers have been remarkably steady. Now he's at the higher end of that, as you correctly identified in the beginning. I think he is trying to be a player in this final chapter, and in some ways, Guantanamo, the Cuba, the immigration, these are all things that he said he was going to try to do when he first ran. And when you put the economy being back on the mend, healthcare, which we'll have to see what the Supreme Court does with, of course. There's a lot of things that he can point to when he ultimately leaves that speak to his having done what he said he was going to do. I don't expect a big nostalgia time for him when he leaves, but his numbers right now are, as you say, creeping up.
Now, Professor, and you are Professor of Political Science, Lee Marengoff,
yep.
And a brilliant one. When Mario Cuomo used to talk to me about this, he used to say, you're in real danger if you're below 50%. If he gets above 50%, what will that connote?
Well, that'll certainly be, something that people take note on. But it is a different era now. Sometimes incumbents get reelected, not that he's up right now, even when they're below 50%. When Mario Cuomo was defeated in 1994, that was a time when, his popularity was actually in the 30s, and he managed to get more than that, but obviously not enough to get reelected. I think for Barack Obama, the polarization that was there when he took office remains. I find it interesting that in most of these polls, he's not getting quite what he got in 2012 when he was reelected, but his disapproval number is very much what Mitt Romney got. So in the Gallup poll, 48-47 disapproval. Well, the 47 is a very familiar number and all that.
Moving along, Lee Marengoff, what is the what kind of view can you give us as to if this happens, then that happens? So, for example, if Hillary Clinton is the candidate and Mitt Romney is running against her, then what could we expect based on polling numbers?
Well, I mean, Hillary Clinton right now is very strong. That doesn't speak to the fact that she's going to necessarily be strong, down the road when, there's a Republican nominee and the Republicans coalesce around one person. Hillary Clinton, of course, is going to have to walk a very fine line. It is very difficult to have a third consecutive victory by a national party. Reagan in 80 and 84 did pass it off to Bush in 88. But that's very rare and very difficult. So Hillary Clinton's going to have to find a way to branch out and yet obviously not repudiate everything that's been done positively. I should note also that Hillary Clinton is putting together a lot of the Obama team in preparation for her candidacy. So in a sense, it'll be interesting to see how those who were against her are now for her.
Yeah, fascinating. But there have been polls in the past which have her up against a lot of different candidates. What can you tell us about that? In other words, who's
she? She basically is ahead of almost, I think, all of them right now, and it speaks to her strength right now, but also to the, you know, divisions within the GOP that need to be resolved. They have, you know, these fractures between the establishment candidates and the governors and the Washington candidates and the Libertarians and the Tea Party. I mean, there's a lot of different aspects to the GOP coalition right now that needs to, you know, come together, but that's a long way down the line. First, they have a, you know, 20 possible people who are thinking that they may all take on Hillary Clinton, and that's obviously got to work its way out during the primary season. Right now, I think we're seeing the fundraising first primary going on, and I think some people are finding it difficult to raise money because there are so many, you know, heavy hitter big names who may gobble up the available resources from the key donors.
When you look, Lee, at I was struck by something you were talking about earlier when, of the poll numbers that you see that are out there. What polls do you trust? When you're looking at other organizations, what polls do you trust?
Well, you know, I think there are several good ones. I think, and this is not a poll that we do, although we work with NBC and Wall Street Journal, we do the state polls. The national NBC Wall Street Journal poll is very good. The Pew Research, which I alluded to earlier, is very good. The ABC and the CBS New York Times polls. I think the difference is that, you know, there's a lot of experimentation going on within the polling community to save costs, a lot of robo-polls. Right now, to my way of thinking, the best way is to have live interviewers who are interviewing both people on landline and cell phone, and that seems to still be, you know, the best scientific approach to this, despite a lot of other ways that are being brought forth that are a lot cheaper and a lot quicker.
How do you get the numbers for the everybody asks me this, and I'm glad you're here. But how do you get the numbers for the non-landlines for the
cell phone? From the same companies that you know, that produce the landline numbers. I mean, they just there are you know, numbers that you literally purchase for the purpose of calling.
Yeah.
The problem with landline is that you're manually dialing, and that takes a lot longer.
What do you say to all those people who say to Joe and I every day we talk about polls? I've never been polled.
Well, the problem is, you know, and the other half of the people say, if you called me, I wouldn't do it. So
yeah,
both groups are probably, you know, a little mistaken, you know, especially the latter. When people call and they say, I'm a sophomore from Marist College, people are interested, they have opinions, and they're more than eager to share them. The problem in polling today is finding people and getting them. It's such a mobile population. You know, people are not home. Obviously, people are with cell phones, so we can reach them that way. But with the landline, that's becoming, you know, sort of the dinosaur in all this, and fewer and fewer people have that. So we're calling more and more landline, and that's slower, more expensive, and not welcome to a lot of the folks who are in the money side of this, where every nickel, you know, adds up and counts.
Let me jump on Joe's earlier question. Are there some polling groups that are seen as more amenable towards one side or the other? For example, I don't know if this is true or not, but I've always sort of been heard on the hustings that the Gallup poll tends to be more pro-Republican.
We got about 30 seconds, Lee. Go ahead.
Yep. The problem with the Gallup poll was in the 2012 election, when their numbers were consistently showing Mitt Romney doing better. They've since reviewed their methodology, and hopefully will have clean that up. I think in the case of the public polls, the goal is accuracy, because that's how you're going to be evaluated. And so I don't think there's any built-in intent to skew the numbers one way or another. But obviously, sometimes folks, you know, this is an art as well as a science, and sometimes you don't hit it where you want to.
Review their methodology. Lee Mieringoff is director of the Marist Institute for Public Opinion, a research center and home of the Marist Poll. Alan and I thank you so much for being with us this morning. It's great to have you here.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Don't forget, you can also comment on anything that we're doing on the panel and on our own little polling, if you will. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'd love to hear from you. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.